Between Mirrors, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 5. Dark Pools. Things slowed down towards the end of the summer, after the first round of vegetables got harvested and preserved for winter in perfectly trimmed jars with pretty labels describing the contents and the date of processing in grandfather's perfect calligraphy. In a burst of enthusiasm for cleaning her room, Claire found her old paint and canvases, from when she was a teenager and dreamed about becoming a renowned artist. It felt like a silly dream now. Life is not as dependable as one thinks when one starts out and everything seems to be within one's grasp. She took a moment to decide whether painting made her happy or sad, and she picked the former. She couldn't remember when was the last time she had held a brush in her hand, but it felt familiar, like she'd laid it down only the day before. She started work tentatively, reluctant to disturb the pure white of the canvas, and the first brush stroke, defiantly thrown, looked like a knife wound on the blank background. It felt bad, it almost hurt, but she kept going, feverishly adding layer upon layer of paint until there was no white background left and the colors started fighting each other for space. She didn't pay attention to their clashing racket, she just kept painting, her mind far away, swarming with thoughts and memories both good and bad, until an incredible sadness built up in her chest, a sadness that came out in waves of tears and strange feelings of relief. She was more bewildered than alarmed by this incredible downpour of emotions, by this feeling of longing and loss of something she never knew she had, by this feeling she couldn't even name. Through all this painful spiritual torment, her hands kept moving, as if under their own guidance, independent of her will, making sense of the random mishmash on the canvas in ways which seemed foreign to Claire, and which she could barely make out through the thick veil of tears that kept flowing for no reason at all. Brightness dimmed at the approach of the evening, but she didn't stop, not until the sky turned from blaze orange to purple and dark blue and the light in the room became so scarce she could barely see the contours of her hands. It felt very late and Claire suddenly noticed that nobody had called her for dinner. She panicked and ran downstairs to figure out what had happened to her grandparents. The lights were off and nobody was there except for the moon, which was already high over the horizon and whose beams painted plush puddles of deep black around the doorways and the furniture, creating a strange soft world made of dark velvet. Here and there the moonlight cast deep violet reflexes, which looked like negative shadows on the black background, a whole inverted world where all the senses worked in reverse. The overall effect of this non-world was so jarring that Claire couldn't experience fear, just a cloud of confusion and awe. She instinctively reached for the darkness that wrapped around her body, and she wasn't even surprised when the air around her shoulders didn't yield under her fingers, like a magnet rejecting a similar charge. She could see details in the darkness, things which would have escaped her attention during the day, small details that suddenly jumped to prominence when touched by the violet glow. Every sound felt louder, amplified by the dimming of sight, and many sounds she wouldn't normally hear suddenly emerged in strange concert, overwhelming her by their sheer number: the soft flow of water through the pipes in the wall, the dull hiss of the floorboards contracting, the pitter-patter of feet from a scared little mouse hiding in the kitchen, the almost imperceptible whoosh of an air draft. There was something else in there too, a high-pitched vibration, too high to be heard but not too high to be felt, which raised the hair on the back of her neck and sharpened her reflexes. It gradually grew in intensity to the point where its weird hum shook Claire out of her strange stillness and prompted her to look for the source. It seemed to get stronger as she approached the mirrors, whose surfaces blended into the black background like two pools of dark water, and only felt the rush of air blow past her as she stepped between them. For a second there was sunlight dappled through the leaves of the oak tree, the sound of laughter and a glimpse of the tall man smiling at her, and then everything faded to black and absolute silence. Claire? The sound of her grandmother's voice made her open her eyes and find out she'd been daydreaming in the sunset, caught between the mirrors, for only God knows how long. She was slightly disoriented, but otherwise fine. She could still hear echoes of the happy giggles, even as she stepped down into the parlor to answer her grandmother. "I'm sorry, I lost track of time for a minute here." "How long had I been standing there?" she asked. "Standing there," the grandmother looked surprised. "I called you because I just saw you come in." "What are you talking about?" "Nothing," Claire frowned at the still perceptible feeling of velvet darkness caressing her shoulders. I love your painting, dear. You should never have given up on your art.
My painting?
Claire asked, dumbfounded. Yes, I went into town and had the canvas restretched.
See?
Grandmother pointed at the art piece which was hanging on the wall in front of them. When did she have time to do all this? Claire wondered quietly, not even stopping to acknowledge the fact that she'd been moved from night to day, apparently backwards, and there was no possible explanation for how that could happen.
So, why did you stop?
Grandmother asked with a glimmer of amusement in her eyes. I thought you'd be pleased with this and continue painting. It's been almost a week since you finished it. Are you going to start a new one?
A week?
Claire almost gasped. I lost a whole week. Further contemplation of this impossible occurrence got muddled in the facts. Did she actually lose time or gain it, since for all practical purposes she'd been living the whole experience of one night in the split second between steps while she walked between the mirrors? She couldn't remember that week her grandmother was talking about. She couldn't remember anything at all.
Good grief, this heat.
Grandmother continued her monologue.
Can you believe it?
And it's not even July yet. Definitely gained time, Claire noted, with insane calm. And worked things back into the past in the process. She looked at the strange painting, which was spellbinding and disquieting at the same time. There was something about it that didn't allow one to take one's eyes off of it, for fear that something unearthly beautiful was going to pop out of it at a moment's notice and deal a deadly blow. A bit dark for my taste, Grandmother commented while she admired the painting looking sideways to get all the angles right, but it has spirit.
You never should have stopped painting, Bibel.
I hope it sticks this time. Claire couldn't explain how, but somewhere in that painting she could see all of her feelings mixed together like the paint she had used to depict them, forming major and minor harmonies in very unexpected ways, fearful joy, surprised stillness, the peaceful elation of grief.
Joseph, Grandmother summoned.
What?
Grandfather answered from the porch. He walked in with a basket full of vegetables, just in time for the preparation of dinner.
Don't you think she has talent?
I don't know these things. Why are you asking me? Grandfather answered displeased. I'm glad she's found something better to do than stand between those darn mirrors day in and day out. Here, he handed the grandmother the basket of vegetables, expectantly.
Oh, would you look at those peppers?
Grandmother obliged.
Aren't they a thing of beauty?
It was their secret ritual, this presentation of the offering and its gracious acceptance, a ritual that went back decades, decades of mutual appreciation and respect.
Help me, will you?
Grandmother handed the basket to Claire, smiling. The latter looked down at the produce and remembered she knew one of the peppers, the slightly asymmetrical one. She'd been watching it grow all summer, at least the summer she had experienced, the one that apparently hadn't happened yet. She knew what pepper plant it had been growing on. She remembered the first time she had seen its dark green surface start blushing in the sunlight. It was still warm from the sunshine whose heat was releasing its flavor.
Are you going to cook that pepper or marry it?
Grandfather woke her from her reverie.
Artists, he shook his head in dismay.
Could starve to death with the food right under their noses, he mumbled under his breath and left the kitchen to the women to find peace on the porch with his newspaper.
Well, are you?
Grandmother joked. Claire diced the pepper and threw it in the pot.